Welcome to another edition of Fantasy Sports Today, coming at you live from here inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios in Toronto. I'm Chris Meany. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. 14 games in the association tonight, so DJ Trainer from RotoWire is going to drop by. We're going to talk about some plays, get back into the Ibaka deal yesterday, what it means for the Raptors, he could suit up tonight, and what it means for the Orlando Magic, particularly Aaron Gordon. Plus, Ray Flowers is going to drop by. We're going to talk about his draft that was now like 3-4 weeks ago. I was talking to him yesterday. He's from Fantasy Alarm about his draft in Nashville FSTA, and he says, man, I don't even remember that. So we're going to a little bit of a refresher. But right now, we're going to continue our theme, baseball theme, fantasy baseball. When you think of Roto Experts, you probably think of Jake Seeley. And if you do, well, good, because we have him and the baseball package released today. Jake, how's it going, man?
I'm doing terrific. Yeah, there's a lot of work put into it. I'm glad most of it's behind us, but there's still more coming.
Yeah, I know. It does not stop for sure. Football's over and you thought you were going to take a break. You're not. You're not taking a break at all. So let's talk actually about your involvement first and just the labor mixed draft that you took part in just the other day, picking from the three spot. I really like your team, man. Fantasy Pros has you winning it, which is a good thing for sure. But Betts, Edwin, Cruz, Gordon, Lester, Hendricks, Batista, Keuchel, those are your first eight picks. Not going to get into all of it, but I just want to know your strategy at the three spot. Were you thinking about Betts? I mean, Kershaw went out at two, and that probably threw everybody off a little bit, but were you thinking about Betts in this situation? 15 teams, the fact that you have to draft five outfielders. If it wasn't five outfielders and maybe 12 teams, would you draft Betts there?
No, actually, so two things. Is one, I was not expecting Betts to be there. I was actually looking at Arenado or Chris Bryant or maybe even Goldschmidt. I know a lot of people will say Altuve, but I don't like the fact that Altuve was only on a 20 stolen base pace after he moved to the three hole last year, and that's concerning when you're talking about Altuve at that spot in the draft. So I was looking at it as more the fact to get a third baseman, and I'm with you, is the fact that it's the five outfielders really made the difference, because when Betts came to me, I was ready to click. Yes, I'm going to draft him, but at the same time, in the back of my mind, if I go purely by my rankings of production, he's not the second or third best player on the board. It is actually Goldschmidt and Arenado and Bryant, and then Altuve, and then Betts. It's because the production's great, but it's actually the position scarcity of why I took Betts. As you mentioned, with five outfielders, I don't think a lot of people realize how scarce the outfield position can get, because it's not just five outfielders. You have a lot of people who will start a sixth outfielder in the utility spot, so you have to make sure you get some of those top-end guys similar to a third base, which can dry up very quickly, especially with those top end guys going in those first two rounds.
Yeah, you and I will be taking part in a Fantasy Pros draft tomorrow night, and I'm picking from the two spot. Where are you picking, by the way?
I think towards like the back end. I think it was like eighth or something like that. Yeah.
So there's five outfielders, but only 12 people, and I will not be taking Mookie at two. I'm with you. I feel like I'm going to go Arenado in that spot for sure. Let's get to some other players. Jose Peraza is a guy that, you know, has just been moving up, I suppose, ADP. I have some stats here. ADP was 136. On NFBC, and ever since the trade when Brandon Phillips moved over to Atlanta, Peraza is going to be the everyday guy there in Cincinnati at second. 113, he's gone. 109, 97, 84th overall. He went in the seventh round in the labor mixed draft. What's your thoughts on Peraza?
I think that he was good value until this happened. At this point, you know, we're seeing him creep up into the top 100 easily. Now he's going even a little bit higher than that. I think you have to be careful where you take him, because he's not all that different from a D. Gordon or somebody like that, and it's really going to depend on where he hits in the lineup. Now, he can hit for 300, and he was hitting for a nice average last year, so he can definitely replicate that, especially in a first full season. But if there's any chance that he slumps a little bit or regresses, or maybe, you know, that second season doesn't go as well as people might think, and he slides down the order, it's going to be a big difference for him when it comes to those counting stats, if he's hitting the top three or if he's down around 6-7 in the order. That's going to be a big difference, because now you're talking about his run production. And like similar to D. Gordon, we're talking about 40-plus steals and a nice average, but he's not going to be driving in a lot. He's not going to hit home runs. So you take away some runs, and now you're talking about a completely different value. Look, right now, as of today, I think he's on the fringe of being a top 10 shortstop, just because stolen bases are a little bit harder to find, especially somebody who's going to steal 40-plus. But watch spring training. Just make sure he's on par for himself and make sure he's batting at the top of the lineup, which is expected, but make sure that's actually where he's hitting, because like I said, if he hits 6 or 7, that value is going to drop him down a little bit, and the top 100 pick's going to be paying a little bit too much of a price there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 136 was fine, but now, I mean, 70th pick overall, I'm just not getting behind that with the stolen bases. It is crazy for me. I mean, the BABIP is high, but sometimes you see these guys, the speedsters, have those high BABIPs. VR is one guy that stands out. This is going to be a theme here with you, Jake, in this segment, is talking talking about young guys. I mean, Ashley's favorite guy, Dansby Swanson, she just loves that name for whatever reason. But this is another guy and a couple other players that we're going to talk about. Small sample size is what we saw from them in their first season. What do you expect from him in Atlanta in a full season in the bigs?
You know, so I'm going to say something and it's going to sound like a compliment, but it's really not. I see him as Dustin Pedroia when it comes to fantasy. Look, Dustin Pedroia is a terrific player in real life, and he was a really good fantasy player a couple of years ago, but now he's not. And why I say that is because he's a 10-10 guy. 10 home runs, 10 steals. Maybe he gets you 12-12. But I think Dansby Swanson's easily overdrafted. He's very overrated for me. He's actually back towards, I think, 18th or 19th at shortstop for me, because you look at the production, it's just, I think he's much somebody who's one of those, he's better in real life than he is in fantasy, because 10 and 10 is just easy to find. And for where he's going, even at shortstop was a lot deeper than people realized last year, especially we talked about Tulowitzki, even though he's taken a step back, for the fact that he even finished inside the top 10 in a lot of formats, that's how deep shortstop ended up being. And Dansby Swanson, to me, just doesn't deserve to be in that top 15, even top 12 conversation, because 10 and 10 is easy to find. Can he get 70 runs, depending on where he's hitting the lineup, similar to the situation with Peraza? You don't know with that situation. So he's Dustin Pedroia of today, and Dustin Pedroia as of today isn't even somebody that's on people's radars to be drafted.
It's amazing how far Tulo has dropped over the past couple of years. I believe he was outside the top 10 shortstops in the Labor Mix draft that you just took part in. I mean, it's understandable, but it's just crazy how much he's fallen. You mentioned Dustin Pedroia expected to possibly lead off for the Red Sox. Andrew Benintendi is somebody that went late in this draft as well, but I feel like, Jake, and I don't know if you're on the same page here, I almost feel like because he's a Red Sox, because he has that prospect ability, everyone talks about those prospects, especially in Boston, and we saw some nice things from him in a small sample size. I feel like maybe a month from now, he's going to go a lot earlier in drafts. What do you think?
He is, and I think he's another one that's going to be possibly overdrafted. Actually, I guarantee he's going to be overdrafted, because he's not that much better than what we were just talking about. He's a 15-15 guy, and so I will pencil him in. He's definitely going to get more home runs and more stolen bases than Pedroia and Dansby Swanson, but a 15-15 guy with, he's talking about 70-plus runs and 70-plus RBI, all of those are nice counting stats. His average is probably not going to get to 300. It'll probably be around a 280, maybe 290 at best, but if you're talking about 70 and 70 and 15 and 15, those are great numbers. Those are great numbers to have as your outfielder 4, maybe your outfielder 3, depending on how your draft is shaking out, if you win other positions and stuff like that. But as of overall value, where he's going to end up going, especially like you said, in the next 3 or 4 weeks, even today, I think he's being a little bit overdrafted depending on what draft you're in. I think it's going to be name value, recognition of the Red Sox, recognition of a young prospect coming up, as you said. And I think that's why the price is going to be too high. You got to look at production. When you're building a team, look at those counting stats and look at the production. Don't always go off the fact that somebody's a hyped prospect. Sometimes baseball is the one sport, unlike football, where a lot of times you can be better on the field than you are for your fantasy team.
Yeah, you're talking about guys who are overhyped, and I have my thoughts on Trey Turner. I want to know your thoughts on Trey Turner. Go ahead. Like, is Trey Turner a first-round pick for you?
Yes, he is one that's not overhyped to me, because here's the thing. Even if you want to take off from the home runs because he hasn't been a power hitter before last year, and you want to say, okay, he only hits 12 or 13, if the guy's stealing 50 or 60 bases with his counting stats and runs in RBI and the average and everything to boot with him, and you're talking about somebody for what he's going to produce, he's going to end up in the top 15 no matter what. Now, if he can get 20 home runs and he can steal those 50 or 60 bases with those other counting stats, you're talking about somebody who, when you're talking about pure value, will be knocking on the door of the top 5 at the end of the year. Similar to Jonathan Villar. People talk about Jonathan Villar. He was a top 10 player in pure value last year because of the 60 stolen bases. So if Trey Turner can do that and get to 20 home runs, he will be there. Even if he hits 12 or 13, he's a first round pick.
Yeah, at least he's a better prospect than VR. We can
that
at least go
true.
Ahead and say that. Jake, we got to get out of here. I really like the Dallas Keuchel pick. I wanted to talk to you about that, but just kind of tee up the Fantasy Baseball Exclusive Edge package, which people can get today.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go over there to get the full package. It worked on the rankings. You got your advanced stats that you need to know. You can talk about your league format and find strategies for that. Your overall strategy, which is some of the stuff we've been talking about today. You know, bounce back players, regression hitters, all these type of things. Anything you can need to know for the fantasy baseball package. And it's continually updated from now until the season starts. There's still more stuff coming out over the next 2 weeks. So make sure you go over there and listen to Fantasy Radio, too, because you can win a Modelo's gift card today.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. And congratulations for On Target. I don't know if we've talked yet since you won that award. Good stuff,
man. I've missed talking to you. I appreciate it.
Hey, we'll do this again soon, buddy. Get back to the radio, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks.
Jake Seeley right there. A great follow, of course, on Twitter, All In Kid. And really, check out rotoexperts.com. Get that package. There's some great writing involved as well. We're going to switch over just a little bit. We got some more baseball coming up with Ray Flowers. But first, 14 games in the association. DJ Trainer's in here next. We're talking some DFS NBA on FST. You're watching Fantasy Sports Today live at Fantasy Sports Network here in Toronto. I'm Chris Meany. Thanks for taking the time to stick with us. We're going to move over to basketball. We'll do some more baseball talk in a little bit with Ray Flowers. But joining me right now, DJ Trainer from RotoWire. And DJ, congratulations, FSWA champ, buddy. You won for the best podcast. Congratulations, man. You and Nick Whalen. Good stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I appreciate it. It was definitely an honor.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's awesome stuff. You and Nick do some fantastic work. So we're going to put you to it right now because there's 14 games in the association. This is the last day of the NBA before the All-Star break, about a week off or so. I mean, where do you start? It's crazy. But where I want to start with you is from that trade with Serge Ibaka going over to the Toronto Raptors, the Orlando Magic just dealing guys left, right, and center over the past couple years and not getting a lot in return for it. But I want to know what your thoughts are on Ibaka first. I feel like maybe perhaps his value takes a little bit of a hit. You can't play him tonight on FanDuel. He's listed as Orlando, so you're not going to get the points for him, even though he may suit up for the Raptors tonight. What's your thoughts on that deal?
I love the deal because Toronto is just about as close as you can get. They've been knocking on the door and they're just so close. You got to go for it. You got to solidify that power forward spot. In terms of Ibaka's value, what I'm looking for is maybe for him to have more consistency because he's gone on hot streaks and he's gone on cold spells as well. I'm wondering, being in a more stable environment in Toronto, that at least we'll get more consistency out of him. But I have to agree, you know, he's going to a team with two ball dominant players in DeRozan and Lowry. So the touches might not be there like they were in Orlando, but perhaps the consistency will be there.
Yeah, and Orlando so far this year, he averaged 12.6 field goal attempts. That was a career high for him. Usage rate, also a career high. So what does it mean for Orlando? Aaron Gordon seems like the biggest beneficiary from this deal. How about tonight on DraftKings or FanDuel? You looking at playing him?
Yeah, I think I'll have him in a few lineups. It's hard not to touch him. He's moving down to his more natural position at power forward, at least ideally. I haven't seen anything to confirm that quite yet. Unfortunately, he has about the worst matchup you could possibly hope for in the Spurs tonight, but he is $4,500 on FanDuel, $4,600 on DraftKings. So not only is he playing a more natural position, but the organization just said, here you go. Here are the keys to the car. We're going to see what we have with you. So that vote of confidence should be an added motivation for him tonight as well.
So one of the highest totals, in fact, actually the highest total tonight, Minnesota and Denver, 226. And I guess if you put up 24 threes on the Warriors, you're going to have a high total. What do you make of this Denver Nuggets team? I mean, these guys are fighting for a playoff spot. They got a lot of guards. They got a lot of big man. Joker has been unbelievable. What do you make of this Nuggets team? And are you going to continue to roll them out?
Yeah, most definitely. What's funny is they've been decimated with injuries, and they were decimated with injuries and still tied that three-point record. So Jameer Nelson and Will Barton are your chalk plays. It's still not a given that Wilson Chandler's going to play tonight. Will Barton has a high usage rate when the majority of Nuggets are out. Jameer Nelson also playing solid minutes, point guard eligible player. Their prices have risen. So we've got Barton at about $6,400 on FanDuel, Nelson at $5,300. And on DraftKings, they're even more than that. I'm still going to run them out there. I think their value is still worth it tonight because their usage rate has been incredibly high with the absence of multiple players.
You mentioned that Gordon doesn't have a great matchup. It's tough against the Spurs. Is there anybody that you feel has a really nice matchup that they can exploit tonight?
Definitely. I'm going to go with the New York Knicks and pick on Derrick Rose here going up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, Russell Westbrook is definitely one of the best players in the league, but his defense is not highly regarded. And in fact, Oklahoma City is in the bottom 10 for points allowed to point guards this season, fantasy points, that is. In fact, Rose had 44 DFS points the last time out against Oklahoma City, considering you can get him for about $6,000 pretty much on all sites. I like his value tonight quite a bit. Great matchup for Derrick Rose.
A great matchup for Derrick Rose, and not a bad one, perhaps, maybe for Marc Gasol tonight.
Yeah, definitely. He's going up against New Orleans. He's played New Orleans twice this season already. He's averaging in those two games about 56 DFS points. I said that right. His price has risen on FanDuel to $8,400 because of that good matchup. But I think he'll be overlooked when you have 28 teams playing. Somebody like Marc Gasol goes overlooked when you have all the top centers pretty much in the mix tonight.
DJ, I want to talk to you about the Cavs. Kevin Love obviously out. Does this make you want to play LeBron James or Kyrie Irving, or does this make you look maybe to guys like Shumpert, maybe Korver? Channing Frye showed up yesterday. How do you treat this Cavs team now that Kevin Love is going to miss the next 6 weeks?
Definitely. So at the power forward position in particular, you've got a three-headed attack in Derek Williams, Richard Jefferson, and Channing Frye. I would assume that Channing Frye has the most value out of those three options. But to be honest with you, I think they're all three going to split time to the point where we really don't know which is going to come out on top on a day-to-day basis. So what I like to say in these cases, just like you kind of alluded to, Chris, I want to reinvest into the players that have already seen major minutes. So believe it or not, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, I think they even have that much more value. You can even toss Tristan Thompson into that mix as well.
All right, we got to get out of here, DJ, but tell people where they can listen to your podcast, man.
Yeah, Audio Boom, Stitcher, iTunes, RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Oof.
Congratulations again, man. We'll talk soon. Enjoy the basketball tonight.
Appreciate it, Chris.
All right, DJ Trainer right there. A great follow on Twitter. This guy does some fantastic work over there at RotoWire. Ray Flowers is in here next. We're giving him a little refresher of his draft 3 weeks ago. Stick around. Welcome back inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. This is FST, and I am Chris Meany. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. We got Ray Flowers now from Fantasy Alarm. Of course, you can hear him on Sirius XM Radio. And Ray, you and I took part in the FSTA draft now, which feels like about a month ago, maybe even a little bit longer. And I don't know how you feel, man, but I was in the 8 spot. You were in the 9 spot. You were taking some picks from me, man. And I wasn't even that mad about it because I respect your opinion so much. And just in the 6th round, one of the guys that you took from me was Anthony Rendon, and when I look at him, I just see terrific talent. As we bring up a board right now, you got Rizzo 9th overall, Carlos Correa, Yelich, JD Martinez, Lester, and then Rendon. We'll talk about bias in a little bit. Hunter Pence around at your first 10 picks in the draft. What do you feel with Anthony Rendon? Because in 2014, I look at his numbers, he touches all categories, he gets hurt in 2015, basically the exact same season in 2016 that he had in 2015. Do you think that he can do this again in 2017?
No, thanks for the kind words, by the way, Chris. Appreciate it. It was a lot of fun getting a chance out there in Nashville, I think it was, right? It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Lots happened the last couple weeks. But yeah, in the case of Rendon, I mean, I've written about him over at Fantasy Alarm because I thought it was important to kind of touch on him because I made that pick and some people kind of went, eh, and they kind of look at his numbers and they go, eh, and I don't understand that perspective. If you actually look at his overall game, while nothing really stands out per se, the totality of what he did even last year was pretty impressive. In fact, the 270, 20 home run, 85 RBI, 90 runs, 10 steals. Yeah. Those are all numbers he hit last season. And again, none of them stand out in any way on their own. But when taken together, his 5x5 line is one that no other third baseman in baseball can match. No other third baseman hit all those plateaus other than him. And so I look at him and I think that, you know, he's got the ability to hit higher than 270. I think he could push 300 if things go right. He has the, you know, 20 home runs is about where he's at, but I think 10 to 15 steals is a nice little bonus that he can bring. And he's still a young player, and there's a chance that we could see across the board improvement for him in 2017.
Yeah, you got to remember, a highly touted prospect at one point, and yeah, a guy that can touch all categories, and that's something that I really like when you're drafting in fantasy baseball. Look for some value there. Sonny Gray went into the 16th round. I don't know if this is value or not. It seems like it, but I just want to talk to you about what you expect from him from, like, yesterday. Last year was just injuries across the board, right? I mean, 219 mm-hmm. innings 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 208, then 117 innings. Five outings last season of at least 7-plus runs. Before last season, he'd only done that once. Is this a great bounce-back candidate, and do you think people should take a flyer on him?
I think he's a bounce back candidate. Yes, you can make the valid point that maybe that was too early. It's different when you're in a room with experts because guys aren't going to slide five rounds. You know, it just doesn't happen. So if you like a player, we have to tend to be a little bit more aggressive in that context. The folks out there, I mean, Gray could fall into the 20s, and then I'm all in. You know, if the cost drops to that point, he is only 27. The velocity was still there last season. If you look at the strikeout rate, it was the same as always. The ground ball fly ball ratio, same as always. Like, there's a lot of similarity despite the outward obvious struggles that he faced last year that I'm willing not to write it off because it happened. But in 14 and 15, he was a very good pitcher. Again, as I noted, there's a lot of similarity even within the struggles from last season to those previous 2 years. I think Gray is someone, given the cost, which is obviously 10 rounds below, 12 rounds, 15 rounds below where it was last season, that he is someone that people should kick the tires on.
Yeah, I mean, in 208 innings, he allowed 17 home runs 2 years ago. Last year, 18 home runs in 117 innings. You have to feel like there's some health there. This is a ground ball pitcher who pitches in a great park. Jason Hayward is somebody as well who just had an awful season, and I don't think he can get any worse, but you mentioned age 27. That's Hayward, too, age 27. Can this guy be any worse than last season, Ray? And I think, where you got him in the 18th round, I think it's terrific value for a great bounce-back candidate.
Yeah, I can't believe I got to say something nice. A lot of people chided me with that one. I'm like, look, he's my fifth outfielder, okay?
Yeah,
like,
what's wrong with that?
Yeah, my fifth outfielder is a first-round pick who's 27 years old who's been a 2020 guy. It's like, yeah, okay, I'll take that. He's worked very diligently, Hayward has, this offseason to kind of rediscover his stroke. It's a little bit of a complicated swing, and so they've done some things to try to smooth that out a bit. And I'll just go back to, 2010 when he came up as a rookie, and people need to understand that Jason Hayward at the time was Trey Turner. He was Yoan Moncada. Like, that was the talent that Hayward possessed. And I remember distinctly back in that 2010 season watching him take batting practice. And the ball makes a different sound off his bat. And you hear scouts say that, and you're like, no, but I'm being serious. Yeah. The ball really does make a different sound. It kind of reminded me at the time of Cliff Floyd. Just that lashing out those line drives. And, Hayward's a big guy. He's 6'5", 235 pounds. And I think that, a rebound effort from last season is certainly doable. People do need to also understand that in two of the last three seasons, he has stolen 20 bases, and we're all talking about steals being something that we're really looking for. I think that it's legitimate to suggest that Hayward could get back to the levels he threw up in 2014 and 15, and it's always possible, if it all clicks, this guy's an elite talent, if it all clicks, that he's even slightly better than that.
Yeah, and you can't forget that the lineup that he plays in and the potential that maybe he can get back into that leadoff spot as well at some point with the Chicago Cubs. You mentioned Yoan Moncada. And correct me if I'm wrong, Ray, but we've talked before in the past, and you're not one to really draft prospects and draft rookies. So what's your take here on Moncada? Why'd you do it?
Yeah, because I'm crazy. It was the hooch that we weren't drinking. No, it was you look at Moncada, and I just mentioned the steals, and, this is an era in 2017 where they're harder to find, and a lot of the guys that are the stolen base, options, guys like Jerod Dyson, they don't do anything other than steal bases. So Moncada brings an elite skill that should show itself right away, and that's the ability to steal a base. Obviously, he is 1-2-3 amongst the prospect rankings in all of baseball. His overall game is really impressive for a young age. And the reason I took the chance at that point of the draft, because you look around and it's like, who are you going to take? Am I going to take Brandon Moss?
Yeah.
Am I going to take Kendrys Morales? Those guys don't excite me. So I took a chance on Moncada with the hope being that the skills will be allowed to show themselves sooner rather than later. The White Sox have been rumored all offseason to potentially be open to trading Todd Frazier, which could open up third base for Moncada. They've got Brett Lowry at second base. We know that guy can't play 150 games. That might open up second base for Moncada. I mean, they could go with Tyler Saladino or Carlos Sanchez. The White Sox could go in a different direction and leave Moncada down for some seasoning. My hope is he's up at the big league club by May, and if that's the case, I think he can have a really impressive second half.
Yeah, and there's been some talk, he could just play in the outfield to start the season with the White Sox. I mean, what's another dual eligibility for Moncada at a young stud like that? Ray, we really appreciate your time, man. Good luck with this baseball and with all your drafts the rest of the way. And let's do this again soon before the baseball season starts, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. Ray Flowers right there. Fantasy Alarm, check out their baseball draft guide. And we will have a Fantasy Alarm week here on Fantasy Sports Television Network. I was going to say radio for a second. Jake Seeley on my mind. Go listen to Jake Seeley on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Chris Meaney. I'm out of here. Have a great day, and we'll chat tomorrow.